Hi, welcome to Sports Talk. It's Thursday, and Marcus Jackson and me, Scott Beatty, are here with you until 6 o'clock. We appreciate you being along, riding with you here in the later part of the afternoon. It's starting to get dark too early now. We have less than 12 hours of sunlight now every day.
It's depressing.
Yep, that's how we start the program, by depressing you. But hopefully we will brighten your spirits here along the way. Hey, if you're a Cubs fan, your spirits was brightened last night. Not if you're a Cardinals fan. And if you are a Cardinal fan, you are trying to watch the scoreboard right now, but you would be a little bit depressed to know that Milwaukee leads Cincinnati 4-3. If Milwaukee wins, Cardinals are out of the playoff race. If Milwaukee loses, the Cardinals are still in it. Their elimination number is 1. So any win by Milwaukee or loss by St. Louis here means it's a done deal for the Cardinals in 2017. Cardinals, if they're still alive, will try to keep that going with Lance Lynn on the hill. It is his possible last start of the year, or his career with the St. Louis Cardinals. He is a free agent after the season is over. Kyle Hendricks will go for the Cubs, as the Cubs will put the scrubs in, so to speak. The non-regular starters, by and large, in the lineup tonight. In fact, 4 guys who have played catcher are in the lineup for the Cubs. It's a 6:15, a little bit of an earlier start in St. Louis tonight. White Sox are hosting the Angels. It is game night for the Bears and the Packers tonight up in Lambeau Field. And former Illini Geronimo Allison suiting up for the Packers. Ron Zook, former head coach, will be on the sidelines as well for that. So it is also a little bit of anticipation about what players might do tonight. Green Bay players reportedly are going to be locking arms to stand in unity during the national anthem as a sign of solidarity for all that is going on with that. We'll get a little bit into that if you like. Illinois soccer is underway against Purdue. Illini looking for their first Big Ten win. They're 0-4 in the conference play so far. Purdue is 2-1, and Purdue is 7-2 overall in conference play. The Illini are 3-9. Marcus Jackson has moseyed in, displaying his Bears loyalty today.
Yeah, I'm excited about tonight's game. I always get excited about games with Green Bay, and I'm always bitterly disappointed.
You know who was at the game before the Bears, who was out there on the field before the Bears game on Sunday?
Dick Butkus was, yeah, for the coin toss.
And he's going to be here tomorrow for the Hall of Fame. My understanding is he already is in town. So
he was at the White Sox game last night, and they had a walk-off win there.
All right, so the Butkus mojo may be in order for the Illini tomorrow night against Nebraska as well. How do you like the Bears tonight?
Oh, man, I don't know. I can't figure them out right now. They've been pretty good defensively for the most part this season.
They've actually been better than we all thought.
I think they have. But and, you know, Green Bay was a little sluggish last week against Cincinnati, but they've got the equalizer there in Aaron Rodgers, who always seems to find a way. And he loves playing the Bears. So I feel like they'll compete, but I think it'll be too much Rodgers in the end.
Rodgers saying apparently this week it'd be good for Mitch Trubisky to stay on the bench, because he felt the patience was worth it for him. How many seasons was it before he got his shot behind Brett Favre?
3 or 4, I think. But he was also learning behind a Hall of Famer. Mitch Trubisky's behind Mike Glennon.
Okay, we'll just leave it there.
And maybe he would rather face Glennon than Trubisky, is why he's saying that it's good for Trubisky to sit there and watch and bide his time.
That's true. Although I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is tough for the Bears usually, and most anybody. Out in Cleveland, LeBron James turned his left ankle. X-rays are negative, according to the Cavaliers. He didn't practice today. He's expected to be day-to-day. The severity of the injury is unknown.
He was drinking wine last night. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Spill that wine.
Him and Dwayne Wade were on Snapchat drinking wine last night.
Dwayne Wade, the newest member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the worst-kept secret in the NBA was Dwayne Wade was headed there to reunite for $2.3 million with LeBron James. How much better do you think Cleveland is with him around?
They're a lot better. And I looked at their two lineups that they have that they're going to be able to trot out there once the playoffs come around. It's Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. And then you got Derrick Rose coming off the bench and J.R. Smith. And the rest of the lineup is pretty solid as well. So it's going to be – they'll be able to compete. I think it'll be a much better series this time around if it's them and Golden State at the end, if everyone stays healthy.
Let's just go to I think you have to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can't skip to the finals this year because I think it's going to be Cleveland and Boston, right?
Sure. Yeah, Boston will be pretty good, but I think Cleveland will have a little bit much for them.
All right. So speaking of the NBA, the NBA is reportedly going to have new draft lottery rules. Before, if you were the worst team in the league, you had a 25% chance of winning the lottery to have the first draft pick. Now your chance just goes down to 14%. I think this is trying to quell the temptation to tank towards the end of the season. Also, the Board of Governors voted to allow Commissioner Adam Silver to fine teams who violate the league's new guidelines about resting players. They're discouraged from resting multiple healthy players on national TV games and are encouraged to rest them during home games when necessary. Now, why would you encourage your team to rest its star at home?
Because, say, for instance, Cleveland only goes to Oklahoma City once a year, right? So if LeBron sits out that game, not that he would, but if LeBron sits out that game, that's the only chance the fans in Oklahoma City have to see LeBron James that year. And that's probably the only reason they bought the ticket, was to go see LeBron James.
Instead of their own team.
Right, and you get multiple chances at home. So if you miss LeBron one night, you could pony up and maybe try one more time, and odds are that you'll see him.
I don't know how rare NBA tickets are these days. Of course, when I was growing up in Chicago, I got to see a Bulls game one time in the years that Jordan was there. It wasn't going to be like, well, if I can't go to tonight's game, I'll get to go to another one later this season. But maybe it's not like that. But I'm thinking, if you're going to rest LeBron at home and there's some kid and that was his one chance to go see an NBA game that season or ever.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Maybe they could work something out with those folks. I saw Jordan dozens of times when I was a kid.
So I don't understand
your pain is what I'm saying.
I saw him in the old Chicago Stadium.
I did too.
That was a cool place. It was really cool. But apparently you don't have any regard for Oklahoma City because you want LeBron to sit there.
I just picked out the first Western Conference team that came to mind.
Hey, speaking of Oklahoma and the stuff swirling around this bribery investigation, Oklahoma State University is reportedly fired Lamont Evans, the assistant basketball coach who worked for Brad Underwood last year and was arrested yesterday. I think it's usually if you get arrested, you're going to get fired if you're involved in a federal wire fraud scam and all that stuff.
It'd be quite the story if he had followed Underwood here. For sure.
If you want to join us, you can. We're at 356-9397, and the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Anything on your mind related to what's going on with the NFL and the national anthem, the NBA today, this investigation? It appears that Brad Underwood is in the clear. That was reiterated last night. Brad Underwood gave a statement last night, issued it late. It basically just said, I want to ensure the integrity of the game, and I'll do everything I can to help the University of Illinois maintain the integrity. It really wasn't any kind of denial. And, of course, you really shouldn't issue a denial if you're not really being accused of anything. But there are questions around it. So he just basically said, I'm supporting the integrity of the game. It really wasn't a denial or a confirmation or a acknowledgement that he may be scrutinized about this whole thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much, the way you got to handle it at this point. Everything's kind of ongoing right now. And like you said, you don't want to deny something that you're not involved in anyway. So I think he's got a lawyer behind him and Josh Whitman who understands how to word things and legalese and all that stuff. So they got by with that. And I think Chancellor Jones said last night or today as well that he feels pretty confident in where they're at with everything. So we'll see what happens going forward. I think there's still a lot to come out with just the widespread scope of this whole thing.
Well, for Josh Whitman to basically, in the athletic department, to basically say we're not aware of any wrongdoing, and then Chancellor Jones, who was quoted extensively in Julie Worth's article today in the News Gazette, that shows me that the U of I is not that nervous at this point.
Yeah, and it sounds like, too, just from reading some of the things that Evans is accused of doing, I think most of it was for himself, lining his pockets and doing things. I know there were some things in there where he was trying to get kids to Oklahoma State and all that, but I don't know that it ever materialized or anything, and who knows if Brad Underwood was even in the loop on all that stuff. Again, a lot of this stuff will probably come to light as this thing goes forward, but it sounds like from the things that have come out that there's not a whole lot to be worried about, although they're obviously... When someone so close to Brad Underwood is involved in this, you've got to have your antennas up a little bit.
What do you think will come out of this ultimately? Are we going to see changes, do you think, to policies for the NCAA, to recruiting? Are we going to see high schoolers going to the NBA now and bypassing college again? I don't know what the fix is. Is just this? Do you buy the few bad actors that Rick Pitino said before he got fired, that this is not some systematic problem, it's just some guys that got greedy?
No, it is a systematic problem. I think that it's more widespread than people probably realize. And I think what's going to happen now is guys are when the feds are involved now, so guys are nervous, and they're going to probably cut out what they were doing. I don't know that necessarily there has to be any policy changes right away, but I think the guys who were doing this and who are part of this are probably going to, you know, lay low for a little while and say, hey, we can't do this, because who knows who's in the room, who's listening, and what's going on. So I think it's scared a lot of guys at this point right now, where they're maybe cut it out.
What's interesting is this kind of stuff has been suspected for so long, and now all of a sudden the law has gotten involved, where before it was just the NCAA and you could hide it. You could get around that. The NCAA doesn't have warrants that they can issue, unlike federal law enforcement can. So yeah, I think this raises the stakes a lot. A lot of people suspected this was going on. Is college basketball dirty? Some, you know, they called this the dark underbelly, you know, or is this just some guys that went the wrong direction? Hopefully it just means it levels the playing field. I mean, one thing that's been cool about college basketball as of late is there's a more level playing field. We see more mid-majors that are competitive. You see those kinds of teams making deeper runs in the NCAA tournament, but there's still a few of those programs, and you're like, how do they keep doing it year in and year out? And you wonder, Louisville, among others, the whistle was blown on them.
Yeah, it seems like it, and there's a lot of coaches around the country, I think I mentioned this the other day, who are kind of happy that this is happening, because it does sort of level that playing field a little bit, and gives them an opportunity to get in there where maybe they weren't able to get in the door because they weren't playing the game like some of the other folks were. So I think this thing's just starting. We're gonna see a lot more come out, and I think we'll start to see how things develop and change as it all goes forward.
I almost said Cubs and Packers tonight. No, the Bears and Packers tonight. We talked about at the outset. The Packers apparently are going to be locking arms and showing solidarity with the teammates, and it's drawing some controversy up in Green Bay. I mean, fans, not all the fans are happy with their own team, and for your own Green Bay fans to not be happy with you, you must be doing something that they don't like. I don't know if this is going to go away soon in terms of the amount of talk that's around it, but it seems to me the pot got stirred by the president. This was somewhat of an issue that exploded when the president, frankly, started to pick a fight about it.
What are the people in Green Bay upset about? I mean, they're just guys who are on a team who spend every day together anyway and play. I mean, they're not, the Packers aren't making some grand statement. I don't think that. I really think what they're doing is kind of irrelevant to all of it. They're just standing there and locking arms and saying, hey, let's go play some football. I don't know that this whole thing got completely hijacked and whitewashed and whatever you want to call it, with, you know, from Kaepernick doing it. Now everyone's kneeling or doing something and doing something different. What the Packers are doing is not any kind of statement at all. They're just saying, hey, let's stand here and lock arms, listen to the anthem, and go play football.
And what guys are doing that are kneeling, at least when this all started, are saying, hey, I'm upset about the inequality that exists in my country, and that's why I'm going to kneel. And they have the right to do that. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'm sympathetic to that. I understand why it's upsetting when people do that because of what the flag and the national anthem can mean. But at the same time, that's what this country is about. So you may not like it that they're doing that. To be honest, I feel it's a bit misdirected, because I just think you honor your country. But at the same time, I'm not offended by it. I'm not upset by it, because I understand that things aren't equal for everybody, especially if you have a dark skin color. So that's fine with moving on. But the more upset people get at those people that are upset, the more this becomes a thing. And now,
imagine if they'd be as upset about what the original point of it all was as they are about this perceived disrespect. Then and maybe we could actually start to have the conversation that we're supposed to be having.
Mm-hmm. Bill on the text line at 351-5357 says, great day for college basketball. Hope any crooked NCAA officials that were looking away when big schools cheat get hammered. That's Bill on the text line. You can weigh in as well, 356-9397. Don't know if it's the same or a different Bill who's calling in from Rantoul. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, they have the right to sit down, kneel, whatever they want to do during the national anthem, and I have the right to be upset when they do it because they are disrespecting the flag. They may not mean to disrespect the flag, but they chose a time to do it when they're disrespecting the flag, which represents in the national anthem, which represents our country, which in turn represents our veterans. They could pick a time. Once you go to Chicago and protest 500 people a month being shot in Chicago, why don't you go do that? Well, instead, they've chosen to pick a time. They chose the time carefully. And then they all got to call, Colin Kaepernick chose the time that he would get most airtime. And then they chose to do it. And now a lot of players, I'm sure, are locking arms when they don't even have a clue what they're protesting right now. They're trying to show solidarity with their brothers. I understand that. But to pick that time and really tick off your fan base, it's not snowflakes. It's not Black Lives, I'm not going to say all Black Lives Matter members, but it's not the liberals and the people really pushing it that are watching the NFL game. And I don't understand why they want to tear the game apart. And it's just become an issue. You have to be on one side or the other. To me, there's better ways to protest other than disrespecting it. And I don't think Donald Trump said anything out of the he said it wasn't about race. It was about respecting your country.
Bill, can I ask you what a better method of protest would have been? You have a solution for that?
Yeah, you could, like I said, you could go to Chicago. You could speak before, you could ask for a meeting with the mayor and ask why nothing's getting done.
There are athletes and people of prominence who have done those things.
Well, what are they accomplishing by upsetting a majority of Americans, or at least half Americans, by disrespecting the country that way?
Well,
they're not accomplishing anything.
Well, the point of a protest too is also to get attention, to get people talking, and this was an opportunity for a bunch of guys in one place at one time to do it.
That's precisely, and again, I just want to propose that it is possible to be honoring your country and protesting at the same time. And I understand why kneeling during the national anthem feels disrespectful, but there is something bigger that they're trying to draw attention to. They have the stage to do it, and if it's meant to just be comfortable, then why would you do it? If it's not supposed to disrupt, then why would you do it? And where should they do it? That's the whole point of protest. And sports has had protest and politics and policy and the condition of the country intertwined in it since it's been around. And you go back to the days of Jackie Robinson forward. It's always been a part of things. So we had a poll out on our Twitter today asking you what you thought about whether this was affecting your fandom, whether this is affecting your viewership. And quite a bit of you were split on the whole thing. Some of you saying you don't like it, but you're still going to watch. Some of you have said this has turned you off to the NFL entirely, and there's a lot of folks that are jumping and saying the ratings are down because of this. I don't know. I'm wondering if the NFL has sort of passed its peak a little bit as well. 34% of you say that you do support. In fact, one-third of our poll listeners, poll viewers today say you support the kneeling during the anthem. 13% I say I don't care. 21% say I don't like it, but I'm still watching. And 32% say you won't watch it all. Anthony in Champaign is on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys. As a active duty service member, I think you guys are getting it wrong. While I support the fact that I defend their right to protest, unless you've served and actually have stood in front of that flag and have given your oath and the Constitution, which the flag represents, you don't understand the hurt. And I think that's really the essence of it. And I think that the previous caller made a good point. You can protest in many ways, and I support them to do that. In fact, I'd rather them go do it somewhere else other than during the anthem. And I just want you, I feel like you're just missing the point to a very large group of people in this country who serve currently or who have served, and it's very offensive. I mean, it's deeply hurtful see people do that. And trust me, I get the fact that I know the oath that I took and I know I protect their right to do it. But at that moment in time, the flag is us. The flag is all of us. And so for them to do that is kind of like just totally disrespectful. And they're losing their message. They're out there totally losing their message.
Yep. Well, hey, Anthony, a couple things I want to say, and we're running up on a break. So, well, unfortunately, you know, we don't have time for a huge discussion on this. But first of all, I'm thankful for your service. You've done something I've never done, never had to do. And I respect and thankful and am grateful for it. And I wish it wasn't offensive in that way towards you. So I just want that to be known. Again, I think it's a bit misdirected because of what the anthem is. However, I'm sympathetic to why it is happening, and I understand why it's happening, and I think it needs to be acknowledged that there's great inequalities in the country.
I, too, respect and thank you for your service, and it's hurtful to me when I see an unarmed black man in a car reaching for his license with his daughter in the backseat bleeding out.
We're going to turn to other things here when we take a break. And the MJs. Marcus, you have your MJs to hand out when we come back. And we've got trivia related to football and a chance for you to win some Kansas tickets. Also, Bob Osmussen will join us as well. Seven degrees here on Sports Talk on a Thursday. We'll have a abbreviated show of sorts tomorrow night because we'll get going after the news at 5 for Sports Talk, and then we'll give way to Illini Game Day at 5:30 to get ready for Illinois and Nebraska. Meanwhile, a big match for Illinois volleyball tomorrow night. They're on the road against Penn State. You can follow that at fightingillini.com. I had a chance, though, to catch up with Illinois volleyball head coach Chris Thomas.
Getting here on a golf cart, is that part of your contract?
There's no parking here at Huff, so we have to use the golf cart whenever we can. So we take it from the offices over to here. It's a nice little ride, a good little 3-minute jaunt down the road, so it's we like it.
Will you be saying that in December?
You can bundle up in December, so yes.
All right, tell me about your opening weekend of Big Ten play. How did it go? How do you assess it?
The assessment is that, you know, we got two wins, and I never want to say, okay, we won and we played poorly. There are times where I wish we would have played better. I think as a coach, you always look at that and say, yeah, we can play better than we did. I think our passing, for the most part, you know, kind of went down a little bit, but that's also due to the competition we're playing against. And, you know, we warned them a lot before we got to this point, saying, okay, now we're in the Big Ten. You know, these teams are going to be tougher. You know, their servers are going to be better. Not to say the teams we've played before this weren't great, but I think we just had a little bit of breakdown there. But the bright spot was is that we were able to kind of take those passes that weren't so great and turn them into points, and that's kind of what you're looking at. And so maybe we didn't pass so well, but our out of system setting was great, or Jordan, you know, was able to track down the ball and put one up for our hitters, and our hitters did an excellent job of managing all their shots, and that's really good to see. So. You know, scoring a point however you can is a point still. There's no, I tell the girls all the time, there's no style points in this game, just points. So we scored enough to win.
And Penn State, probably your toughest competition you've seen behind maybe Stanford and what you saw in the Big Ten Pac-12 Challenge. So do you think the team is in a different mindset or different place now to face a tough opponent after going through what they went through against Stanford?
Yeah, I think, you know, they beat Stanford twice and they beat Colorado, two teams that we lost to. But I was telling the other reporters that, you know, that's no indication of anything other than we know they're a tough team. And they've had, you know, multiple players on that roster that have won a national championship back when they were freshmen. So, you know, I know what that motivation can be like for those players. So I just told them expect their best and we have to play our best to hang with them. And, you know, we've been playing some good volleyball. It's just a good challenge to try to kick it up another notch in a hostile environment in the Big Ten and, you know, another chance for a freshman to see what it's like to play in the Big Ten. So we're excited for a lot of reasons. You know, we'll see how it goes. If we execute well, I think we'll as always, we'll be in a position to win. But if, you know, we show a little falter, I think those players are pretty good at jumping on it. So the main message is just to always be competitive. And, you know, we're going to see good swings. We're going to see good serves. We're going to see good blocks. You know, what do we do in response to those things? And how do we come back against, you know, a good player? And we want to make good plays ourselves. So.
I imagine you won't see quite the contingent from the Spike Squad making the trip out to Happy Valley and Rutgers, but how cool was that? I mean, that's kind of an old trick they use, but how cool is that to see a disguised Spike Squad show up on the road for you?
Yeah, that was in the works for a little bit of time, so they're talking about it. We helped facilitate a few things for them, but I didn't know what their exact plan was other than, you know, they said, okay, after we score the first point, we're going to switch to our purple to orange, and it was cool to watch unfold. And they also helped me out on a line call. There was a referee called it out, and they were right on the line. They were telling me it's in, so I used my challenge replay, and we scored the point. So good to have them out there, and yeah, very familiar feel in Evanston when we played Northwestern. But again, you know, hats off to the team for playing good volleyball and getting the win. So.
And zooming out to the rest of the conference, Michigan State, are they a bit of a surprise? I knew they were coming on strong last year. How do you see that team and the rest of the top half of the Big Ten right now?
To me, Michigan State's not a surprise. I think I picked them to play second in conference. They returned pretty much their whole starting crew from the previous year, you know, a team that was, almost in the Sweet 16. I think preseason they stumbled in a few matches, but they have the size, they have the experience to be really good in this conference, and they showed that this last weekend. You know, they won at Wisconsin, which is no easy feat, and they swept Minnesota in three, which hasn't won or hasn't lost a home match in 40 some odd games. So hats off to them, and again, it just kind of speaks to the depth of our conference. And we talked at the beginning of the year, you know, them, Purdue, Penn State are all three teams that returned a bulk of their roster from the previous years, and in returning, I mean, they six seniors are on those rosters, you know, so it just makes it that much more challenging and makes a victory that much sweeter. So, yeah, it's a tough conference, as you know.
And I suppose in a year or two, people are going to say Illinois is returning a bunch of upperclassmen as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it always goes in cycles like that. We just try to do our best every day to improve. No matter what your age is, I think it's, you know, volleyball is just one of those games where you can, it's pretty random, actually, you know, for the most part. There's also obviously some constants, which is why we have our records and stuff like that. But I think it's a game where, you know, if we play our best, we can compete with anyone in the country, as we saw when we played Stanford. And we hope to get to that level consistently. I think that's kind of the key word we're using over these last few weeks, I'm seeing a lot in our practice gym. So as long as that can translate into games and hostile environments, and when we play tough matches here, I think we'll be in good shape.
Chris, good luck against Penn State and Rutgers. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Scott.
All right, Chris Thomas there with us. They're out to Penn State tomorrow night. Let's do some trivia for you now. We promised you some trivia. We have a pair of tickets to give away here to see Kansas. They're at the Virginia Theater on the 13th of October. And I don't have my calendar in front of me. That is a Friday night, I believe, right? So if you'd like to go to see Kansas, or if you just want to try and win some trivia, and then you can pass tickets on to somebody else, play along. 356-9397 is the number to call. The question is, this came out earlier in a newscast, but you may know it anyway. What former Fighting Illini wide receiver played for Lovie Smith with the Bears in 2008? He's a timely one today to talk about. What former Illini receiver played for Lovie Smith with the Bears in 2008? Good luck. .545 Sports Talk. Congratulations to our trivia winner, our friend Tom Zilke of Champaign. First one that knew that Brandon Lloyd, former Illini receiver, played for a season, coincidentally for Lovie Smith in 2008 with the Bears, was a draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers, helped the Fighting Illini to the Sugar Bowl, among all things. Here's a little throwback.
First and 10 for the Illini at the Illinois 41-yard line. Kidner back to pass, has time, throws a long one, and Lloyd is there. It's a 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Brandon Lloyd. Oh, he beat his man, and Kidner laid it up there. He just ran under it, and oh, baby, did that help. 25 to 14 now.
Boy, were those the day. Brandon Lloyd announced today as the Grand Marshal for the homecoming parade on October 27th. we welcome in our very own Grand Marshal, because today's his birthday, Bob Osmussen. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
Congratulations. Happy birthday to you.
Well, I did it a lot today.
Congratulations for being born.
I know there's a 6 and a 5 in it.
Correct.
I just don't know which one's first.
It's not 65. I would look really bad if I'm 65.
Okay, so you are...
Actually, I'd look really good if I'm 65.
So you are
56.
Yeah, 56. Well, happy birthday.
I'm younger than my wife, more of the point.
She robbed the cradle.
She did.
Okay. Well, happy birthday. Hope you get to celebrate in style tonight.
I will.
Tell us about Illinois and Nebraska tomorrow night.
It'll be fun. It'll be perfect weather, first of all. That's always good. Perfect weather. Football weather. And I think Illinois has got a great chance to win this game. In the paper tomorrow, you'll see I picked Illinois to win. Close game. I think it'll be lower scoring. But I think Illinois has got a great chance. And Nebraska's not playing well. Not playing well at all. Quarterback's a mess. They're not very good.
Plus, I was reminded of this by Brian Barnhart. Back in 1986, the last time Illinois had played Nebraska at home before Nebraska entered the Big Ten, was the day they retired Dick Butkus's number. And
yes,
now
very
tomorrow,
famous.
Yeah, and now they got their pants beat, but tomorrow it'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And as Marcus has already pointed out, Dick Butkus brought the mojo for the Bears on Sunday, brought it for the White Sox last night.
He didn't help in 86, though. In fact, there's a famous thing about that halftime. He was on at halftime, and he said something like, enjoy the game, rest of the game, and rolled his eyes because Illinois was getting killed. So it's pretty funny, and I think he'll be much more congenial on this week. I'm sure he will be. And he's such an icon. So cool to have him around. Please, please, please put the statue up now. Put the statue up tomorrow. Start building that. I'll give some money. Not a lot, but I'll give some money. Marcus, you'll pay. You'll pay, right?
Sure.
For statue? Scott, you'll pay.
Keep spending my money, Bob.
Pass the hat, man.
Pass the hat. Let's get Dick Butkus the statue. I want it to happen while he's around and healthy and doing so well.
All right. You got a chance to talk to Mike Riley today, head coach of Nebraska. Your impressions of him?
Well, he's such a nice person. That's such a great guy. That's why this season, what they're going through is really hard to deal with, because nobody roots against him. Everybody roots for him. Problem is, their team is not very good. So I think that's kind of a balance you got to figure out. If you're a Nebraska fan, you want the team to be great, and you're not happy with the coach. So how do you root? Well, I think they root for them. They root for the team. Very nice person. Had nice things, really nice things to say about playing at Memorial Stadium. He likes it a lot.
This Memorial Stadium?
Yes, he loves it. He has played here a couple times with once when he was with the Saints as a coach, and once again when he was with Southern Cal way back when, and they killed Illinois in that game. I think it was 55-3 or some crazy score like that. So he's had good experiences here as a coach. Really loves the place, loves the tradition. So I like that. He's a good person. I root for him.
We had Sean Callahan on yesterday from Husker Online, and he said you can see him wearing it right now, the stress and everything that's going on. Did he come off that way? Does he
not
look
today
like a guy that's weary?
No, not at all. In fact, he looked very happy. His wife was with him, and they were talking about how much fun they had here, and they had a nice trip. So I think he's fine. I think maybe everything's going to calm down. Maybe they win a couple of games and they get back on the road. Their problem is their schedule is brutal. They got Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State left, Iowa, Minnesota. They're going to have a hard time having a winning record, really hard time.
Fill in the blank, guys. Illinois will not win without a blank. And I'm going to go with a special team score.
Oh, I'd say a 100-yard rusher.
100-yard rusher.
Yes.
Defensive touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and that's Lovie Ball, and I don't know that Lovie Ball has fully been established yet for Illinois, but I don't think there's not enough firepower right now with the offense. Although, who knows what we might see with Jeff George if we can let him loose.
Nebraska is banged up, really banged up. They got their best running back is hurt, not going to play. They got some receivers hurt. They got some guys in secondary hurt. They have some problems there too. So this is not a full Nebraska team. This is not the team that Mike Riley thought he'd have this season. So I think, again, they're very susceptible to losing to Illinois. It's my sense.
All right, Bob, I'm glad you're here because we have a treat for you on your birthday. It is, in fact, the second edition of the MJs. Radio edition. They appear in the News Gazette, but before you can see them, you can hear them here. It's Marcus Jackson unveils the best, or not, of Twitter. And Marcus, Last week we handed out a few. What is our first category today?
We're going to go sports, because this is a sports show. A man by the name of Roger Sherman gets an MJ. He says, why does everyone try to tackle the air near Saquon Barkley? Seems like a bad strategy. They should try tackling him instead.
Roger Sherman. You said Robert Sherman?
Roger.
Roger Sherman.
And it's no one can tackle the guy. He ran for 211 yards against Iowa, I think almost another 100 through the air. He jumped over a guy and survived a hit. No one can tackle him. So, I mean, try tackling him, not the air.
He's right now the Heisman favorite by a long shot, yeah, I think.
It's not even close.
Is he getting your vote?
Right now he is, absolutely. He's a great player.
Next category of this week's MJs.
Music from a man named Patrick Sandberg. He says, if Justin Timberlake plays the Super Bowl and doesn't bring out Janet Jackson, he is fired from planet Earth. Of course, everybody remembers the wardrobe malfunction from Super Bowl 38.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
She's getting old, isn't she? You're asking.
Says the man who just turned 56.
I think she's 56.
She's in her 50s, but she's not 56. She looks great, though.
Oh, I know.
I think it'd be really cool if she brought her out.
I think he should bring her out. I'm a huge Justin Timberlake fan. I love the guy, but I feel like...
And she should be wearing, like, knight armor.
Well, I feel like it's a bit unfair that he's really risen since that moment, and she's kind of faded a little bit, and she's been kind of ostracized by a lot of people. So he needs to bring her out if he indeed does play the
Super Bowl. Wasn't her fault, right?
It wasn't her fault. And we got one more. This one is from Hollywood. It's from Norman Lear, who visited Champaign earlier this year. He says, we lost a true explorer, a man who had a keen sense of the future. We learned a lot from you, Mr. Hefner. Hashtag Hugh Hefner. Of course, the University of Illinois graduate passed away overnight. Mm-hmm. Someone just found it unique that he died on Hump Day, which was Wednesday. And he had a lot of fun in his life.
You can't say that. I interviewed him before the Rose Bowl. He was awesome. And toward the end of the interview, I said, you know, good luck with everything, good luck with life. And I stopped myself and said, wait a minute, why am I wishing you good luck? You should wish everybody else good luck, because nobody's had a life like him.
And I think it's probably accurate that a lot of people have learned a lot of things from Hugh Hefner. All right, that's the MJs for this week. Marcus, what will be trending?
Saturday Night Live will be trending this weekend. It premieres this week. Jay-Z, it will be on, I think, I forget who the host is.
Ryan Gosling,
so that'll be a good one. President's Cup this weekend, a lot of golf fans out there. American Made movie with Tom Cruise coming out this weekend. So those are the trending topics.
All right. Bob, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Maybe the Illini will pull out a win.
I think they will.
We're back in a moment on Sports Talk. Yeah! 557 Sports Talk. Scott and Marcus with you. We've got some breaking news to get to you. Local news at the top of the hour. Just an FYI to stay with us. But right now we go to the phone lines. Kevin in Champaign wants to talk about Illinois and Nebraska. Kevin?
Hey, thank you. I'll be real quick. On the question you asked, Illinois will not win unless. First off, Bob, I was at the 83 Super Bowl. Now I know why we lost, because you were with the team and got everybody drunk, right, Bob?
Bob left, actually, so he's not here for you to insult him. But
Bob doesn't drink, so maybe they drank all of his alcohol he was supposed to have.
Well, he did back then in 83. But anyway, this is a no-brainer. How many times have we watched Nebraska football and the recent decades that we played them out of conference and now in conference, they run the ball right down our throat. We have got to stop the run up the middle. We got 10 guys in the box, and we need to have a spy on Tanner Lee. If he fakes the handoff into the middle, we got to have a spy to nail him if he tries to go back and pass.
Good point, Kevin. I was reading, from what I understand, the blocking scheme for Nebraska makes the defense particularly vulnerable up the middle, and they tend to be bigger, stronger, faster, more physical. This will be a real test for that defensive line, because it is going to come down to, can they stop the run? And I think Nebraska is especially going to be a little bit hesitant to go for the home run ball with Tanner Lee, because he's thrown 9 interceptions, although he's reduced them every game. He went from 4 to 3 to 2. But it's a big problem right now for Tanner Lee, and he's not performing the way Nebraska was hoping he would as the quarterback for this year. All right, we'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Marcus, just want to say thanks for your candor.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what I'm here for.
And appreciate your MJs as well.
Here for that, too.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to our guest, Bob Osmussen. Happy birthday to him. Chris Thomas from Illinois Volleyball. Tamara McDaniel, catching everything behind the scenes. Appreciate her fine work. CBS World News Roundup is coming up. We've got a local news break in just a moment, though, first. And one quick peek at the scoreboard. Milwaukee leading Cincinnati 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Cardinals and Cubs coming up in just a few minutes. Illinois soccer down 1-0 at the half in Purdue. Have a good night, everybody. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station.